Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. So about a week ago, I returned from a pilgrimage where I traveled with a small band of strangers, pilgrims, to remote areas of northern Scotland and England. I followed in the footprints of early Christian ministries and missions. These missionaries went into these remote areas of Great Britain in the 4th through 7th centuries, and the islands that I visited were called Thin Places, a place where heaven and earth met. These were places filled with the Spirit of God. They were rough and rugged places, a wilderness of sort, surrounded by ancient rock, some of the oldest in the world, and raging seas and oceans, scars from glaciers, and the overwhelming presence of God, the beauty of God's creation, the love of Jesus, and the wildness of the Holy Spirit. And as I followed in the footsteps of early Christians, disciples, and evangelists, and learned about their lives, I was so hoping for some kind of vision or a clear message from God. And as I hiked with sleet on my face to the different beaches of significance and the hills of visions, all of a sudden I realized it wasn't cold, that I was surrounded by immense love. It was as if God had put his hands down and scooped me up in his palm. And I savored that burning love that went through my heart and sustained me through that pilgrimage. It was really beautiful. I felt the Holy Spirit, who I might say I love to dance with, just swirling around me and kissing my white, wet cheeks. I was touched by the spirits and souls of those who had walked these islands, the souls of the departed, and the spirits of so many that had come to celebrate with pagans the love of Jesus Christ. These disciples, both men and women, lived the gospel in peace and love, acceptance and hospitality. They brought the Druids, Anglo-Saxons, and Picts to know the love of Jesus. They brought them to know the cross of hope and our redemption and salvation. They did this by not condemning or judging them, but by listening, by offering hospitality, by sitting at the table and breaking bread and sharing stories. They embraced the customs of the Druids and the Anglo-Saxons and the other tribal people that lived in those islands. And in sharing with each other, they came to know both the peace, the love, and acceptance of Jesus Christ. The missionaries extended the invitation, that radical invitation of the cross. They didn't force them. They just extended an invitation, and slowly these people came and were baptized and accepted the radical invitation of love that Jesus Christ talks about and the radical invitation of the cross that we follow. As I walked among strangers in this untamed ancient land, I found that the teachings of Jesus and the words of our gospel were powerful and alive everywhere that I went. What a great teacher, a mammoth teacher, Jesus was. He was kind, he was loving, he was patient. But he was like a graduate professor. He knew what people believed in and where they were, and that they were faithful to the Hebrew Bible. And he turned some of those teachings on their head. So today we hear the wisdom of Jesus, the great teacher, and the gospel reading of Mark. The disciples run. They kind of like tattle. Hey, there's somebody out here that's casting out demons, and he's doing it in your name, and he's not one of us. Jesus, do something about it. And Jesus does something shocking to them, but yet he's building on the foundation of Moses at the end of the reading in Numbers that we heard today. Oh, wouldn't it be great if all the people were prophets and the Spirit poured over them? So Jesus says, he's doing this in my name. Let him keep doing it. Because if he's for us, he will never be against us. They were amazed. Jesus did not stop this man. He pulled from scripture that his disciples knew, from Numbers, and then he pulled from Exodus and Leviticus, the books in the Bible that set out the law that good Hebrew men and women went by, that the rabbis taught in the temple. And there were written in those the way of life when someone wronged you, what was the punishment for them? What was the retaliation or the vengeance? So Jesus turns that on its head with a radical invitation of his way of love and forgiveness and acceptance. If somebody wrongs you, then before you seek any punishment for that person, hurt yourself. Cut off a major limb, a leg, an arm, punch yourself in the eye. Then once you've done that, if you still want to hurt them, think about the cross, which they really are not aware of yet because Jesus has not been crucified, but he's trying to prepare them. Know that my way is a way of love. It embraces all, the beloved, all God's creation. And so don't be that stumbling block that will prevent anyone, especially little ones, because of their innocence and beauty and open hearts. Don't cast anything that will get in the way of people knowing the love of Jesus, that radical message of the cross, of redemption and salvation. So in our own brokenness, we no longer listen. This causes disagreements, polarization, and we push those that are not part of our group away. And this blocks us from accepting that radical invitation of the cross and transformation. And when we do this in our brokenness, this is not the invitation or message of Jesus. And this is not the message that the early Christian missionaries took when they went into Great Britain. In fact, these early Celtic Christians lived so much in love and peace. When the Vikings began plundering these communities, they were seen as easy prey. The unarmed monks living that joy of following the cross, went down to the beach to welcome their seafaring guest. They were slaughtered with a sword. Vikings walked through their blood, and they raided the island of valuables, livestock, gold and silver that was in the abbeys, the people who were later sold into slavery. I do not know the names of those monks who lost their life on that beach. What I do know is they faced evil with love. And if you want to see Jesus at work, think about it. The Vikings are no longer, and Christianity is here. So they walked in the spirit and the teachings of Christ, and their love of Christ prevailed, because some 1,500 years later, thousands of pilgrims, including me, walked to that beach and prayed and lamented for the lives lost and gave thanksgiving for the witness that they left for us to follow in. They left us with a message of love and hospitality and evangelism that is so rich that it follows us into our DNA today in our worship. Following the footsteps of Christ and taking up the cross is hard work. The disciples, the Christian missionaries, and faithful men and women that came before us followed the cross, and it was hard work. Yet the blessing of sharing Jesus's radical invitation, that invitation to the cross, to hope, redemption, and salvation, is joyful beyond any words. The stories of those that came before us and the stories of those in the Bible sustain us to live into our baptismal covenant and to be transformed, an acceptance of the radical transformation of the cross and the body of Christ. As Christians, we are salted in love. This is an ancient covenant, a covenant of friendship and fidelity. And in seeking Christ, one accepts that radical invitation. And we cross all boundaries and we step up in the face of evil in love and transformation. Once we accept that invitation, we don't have to worry about burning in hell, because our hearts are burning with the love of Christ, and we don't want to keep that to ourselves. We want to walk through those doors, and we want to share it with the world. We want to share that love. Joy sets our hearts so on fire and so in love that we have no other choice. We need and we go working in love to remove barriers, those stumbling blocks. We go and we bridge the polarization. We try to see what's good in both ends and bring them together in the name of Christ. We address broken systems that hurt the people that they were established to help, and look behind and see what causes it and try to bring people together to solve that problem. We love the unlovable, and we do it with the joy of the cross. We must clear the path so all, not just our little group, all can receive the love of Christ and take up the cross and live a life transformed. Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. Amen.